David Baldacci, that global number one bestseller of thrillers, is at it again, this time with the second in a series of Atlee Pine novels. His books number well over 40 and have been translated into over 45 languages, as well as being adapted for films and for television. Tonight, we're going to talk about A Minute to Midnight, which takes us deep into Atlee's past and is set in Andersonville, Georgia, also with its past. So I am always glad to welcome you back to Around Cincinnati, and certainly always glad to have a great new read from you. I want to take just a minute to talk about the lead characters in A Minute to Midnight, because this is just the second Atlee Pine novel. And we'll save Atlee for a moment because, as you may remember, I'm a great fan of the Camel Club and the characters in it. So I was delighted to find yet another female character, first of all, Carol Blum, of a certain age and experience, and she's Atlee's right-hand woman. So what does she bring to the novel?
You know, in some respects, I think Carol is almost like a pseudo-mother figure for Atlee. She's also a very experienced woman at the FBI, and she's seen everything over the years. FBI is still very much a male-dominated society. I think she's very proud of the fact that Pine is a female who has risen in the Bureau as a crackerjack investigator. He's overcome a lot of obstacles that are gender-centric, unfortunately, and she's very proud of that association. And it also may be that, you know, Carol, when she was in her 20s, might have wanted to join the FBI and become a special agent, and maybe that was not possible for her at that time, you know, decades ago. So it might be that she sees Atlee as sort of, you know, the personification of what could have been for her, and maybe living a little vicariously through her. But she cares deeply for her boss and acts as a sounding board for her and tries to keep her tethered, because the case she's investigating in The Minute to Midnight is very personal, and it could overwhelm Atlee. And I think that Carol sort of acts as an anchor for her.
And mother of six children, so she's been around the block a few times.
Nothing could faze her.
Right. So, however, talking about being fazed, this novel starts with a visit to a narcissistic sociopath. His name is Daniel James Torr, and Atlee, who is an FBI agent, has gone to this maximum security prison to try and get some information. So this leads to her going back to her hometown of Andersonville, Georgia. So you want to tell us why she's there? What are the traumas in her past?
So when she was 6 years old and growing up in Andersonville, she had a twin sister, Mercy Pine. And one night a guy came into the room and abducted Mercy and almost killed Pine, left her there for dead. And she almost did die, but she ultimately survived. That was 30 years ago, and that one trauma has destroyed her family. Her parents divorced. Her father ultimately committed suicide. She doesn't really know where her mother is, so it destroyed every fiber of their family. They had no family left. While Pine was a FBI agent and has been doing this for about 13 or 14 years, after she leaves that prison in the beginning of the book and gets no resolution, she was there because she thought a serial killer, Daniel James Torr, as you mentioned, had abducted Mercy because he was operating in Georgia around that time. She gets no resolution from him. He's kind of stringing her along. And then something happens that really propels this whole plot forward. She's heading back to Arizona. She gets an Amber Alert. This pedophile has grabbed a young girl from a soccer match. And she finds a guy, confronts him in a box canyon, rescues the girl, and that should have been the end of it. But I think 30 years of pent-up fury and anger and frustration overwhelms her, and she ends up nearly beating this guy to death. Obviously, that was a huge mistake. FBI frowns on that, and she's given an ultimatum by her boss. And he said, look, you got to get your head straight. You got to figure out what happened in your past. Go get this done. And if you don't, you have no future here. So that's why she ends up in Andersonville, Georgia. She's got to immerse herself in the past to figure out if she's going to have a future.
I do have a curiosity question for you. You keep us in suspense always, but we do know that somebody's going to die in your books. So
yes, that's a given.
I'm just curious, do you ever, you know, go through old newspaper articles looking at various ways people have met their maker? Or is there some less than light corner of your brain that thinks up things? And how do you decide how somebody's going to die?
To answer your first question, both. You know, I read a lot about a lot of different things. I have, you would be appalled, the reference books that I have in my office. When I used to work at my home and our kids were little, I had to lock them away in a cabinet. My wife insisted our kids are never going to look at these books and see these pictures ever, or else I'll kill you. So, and I do read a lot. You know, I'm interested in true crime stories and news that happen, and crime is very fascinating to me. But I do have this other side of me where it is sort of my job and it's my fascination to figure out what to do. But with all, you know, the murders that have been committed in my novels and the methods that are used to kill people typically figure very prominently in their resolution, and they're done for a specific reason. In this novel, you'll find out that they all have a purpose. And sometimes how, you know, you get rid of someone can be a tell on who did it and why they did it or what they might be interested in. If you're talking about a serial killer, typically they have some type of ritualistic killing of someone and they do it in a particular way because that has meaning to them and they're very twisted, sadistic minds. So the manner of how people die, you know, are very critical. I don't do it gratuitously. I'm not into just showing violence for the sake of showing violence. There has to be a purpose to it.
I do want to thank you also for bringing these two strong female characters to us, Atlee Pine and Carol Bloom. I trust we will see more of them.
You will. I mean, they make a great team. And, you know, usually these books are either male-centric or if there's a team, it's male and female, usually the same age. Never see two females. And when you do, usually they are the same age. So you have two females and they're of different generations, which I think is kind of unique, but allows me as a storyteller a lot of latitude and a lot of possibilities. You know, that dynamic of the relationship is pretty interesting.
David, it's great to talk with you. Great to read you always. Thanks so much for taking time from your writing to visit with us tonight.
I appreciate it very much. I always enjoy it. Thank you.
I've been talking with David Baldacci about his latest thriller titled A Minute to Midnight and is the second novel in the Atlee Pine series. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.